C.S. Lewis, in his Screwtape Letters, has this account from Screwtape guiding his junior tempter nephew, Wormwood, saying, if you could once get him, speaking of the patient, as he refers to him in the letters, to the point of thinking that religion is all very well up to a point, you can feel quite happy about his soul. A moderated religion is as good for us as no religion at all, and more amusing. I think C.S. Lewis's point, as he's writing this satirical account of these demons talking about how they're going to tempt people away from the Lord, is really just the reality that they don't really have to put things into people's minds. It's not that they have to make people think certain things or in certain ways or get people to do certain things. Really, it's just keeping us from seeing the need to live God's truths. Seeing reality for what it is, keeping those truths out of our minds, convincing us that kind of halfway there is okay, halfway there is good enough. That's sufficient, he tells Wormwood. If you can get there, then you can feel really good about the patient's soul. You've got him. You've snagged him. He feels comfortable sitting in his pew. He feels comfortable singing the songs and saying the prayers, and all is good and well. But the New Testament picture of Christianity, the New Testament picture of holiness, which is just the idea of sainthood, being a saint is just being one of the holy ones, is not something that is halfway. It's not something that is moderate. And tonight I want to talk about one of the ways in which this is discussed in Scripture, one of the metaphors, which is the idea of a soldier, an idea of a warrior. It's all over the pages of Scripture. In fact, Paul even explains this kind of mindset to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Now, this is just an illustration he's using, but the point of this is very clear. The soldier's goal is to please the person who's over him. He's not interested in all the other things around him that he could be doing. He wants to make sure he pleases the person who needs to be pleased. That's the point in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And when we look at a passage like Ephesians chapter 6 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 or Romans chapter 13 or some of these other texts that deal with the idea of what's typically called the divine warrior text, these are texts that are taking something from Isaiah 59, the concept of Isaiah 59, where God comes in his own strength and he clothes himself in his own armor. And now in the New Testament, we are told, much like Isaiah 60, we are to arise and we are to shine. We're to clothe ourselves in the garments of God. And that's the background of what Paul's doing here in Ephesians chapter 6. So begin reading with me here in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 10. It's so good to be with you tonight. Open the Word of God together to study some important matters from Scripture, and so I appreciate so much you being here. I just want to make a note for the young adult slash college age class. There are some booklets out there on that back table on the left. Got the printer, copier finally working after services this morning, so it's all out there for you to grab, those of you who are interested, and we'll be ready to go with those lessons for Sunday. I'm always tempted to do what I want to do tonight with most sermons I preach. And that is because my period of time, my life right now, deals with raising children, my wife and I. And so much of what I see, and I have to be careful I don't do too much of this in some ways, but so much of what I see relates to that process, that time in my life. And so I actually try not to do this too much. I would like to do it more because I'm kind of preaching to myself in the process, and so it's beneficial to me. I know not everybody is in this phase of life, but what I want to do tonight is we look at Ephesians 6 and some surrounding passages is think about not just myself being a warrior, not just myself being a soldier in the kingdom of God, but just this idea of raising our children to be this. Just something that's on my heart in a very big way as we've been dealing with some homeschool planning for the coming year and going to conventions and thinking about all those sorts of things. The way we raise our children and the importance of how we do that, it applies in so many things of life, including this. Including the idea of putting on the whole armor of God. As Paul concludes this letter, this is what he has to say. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, taking up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I really just want to look at three basic concepts to relate to how we can raise godly warriors. Warriors for the right kingdom. Really, if you think about the way Scripture is presented, it doesn't matter if you look at Romans or you look at Colossians or you look at Ephesians or any of these letters, 1 Peter, there are two sides in this battle. You have the soldiers of darkness and the kingdom of darkness, the ones who follow the evil and the prince of the power of the air, as he talks about it in Ephesians chapter 2. And then you have the sons of light. You have those who walk as children of light. They are in the kingdom of light. And what's happened in this process, what the gospel is, as Colossians describes it in Colossians 1, is that we've been transferred. It's kind of an interesting idea. We were in the kingdom of darkness, but by the power of God through the work of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead and our faith and what Jesus has done, now we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, the kingdom of light. And so this is all about identity. It's all about where we stand. And everything that we do in our life, those of us who have children, as relates to our children, is giving them some message about where we stand. And you notice that's a pretty important idea here in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 and following. How we are standing, what are we standing on, what are we standing with? Is it the armor of God? The armor of God says something about who we are. It says we're in his kingdom. It says we're part of his people. But tonight I want to talk about things we can do with our children, or ideas, concepts that need to be there for us to help raise kingdom warriors. This is nothing new. This is nothing that's going to surprise you and is really conceptual. And I tie in some of the scriptures in Ephesians 6 and maybe some other scriptures along the way, but I would suggest to you that really much of this is actually just implicit in what Paul is saying. For instance, this first one, if we are going to have kingdom warriors, if we're going to raise them, They just have to have a respect for authority. And really, I already hit on this concept, this idea. When we put on the armor of God, we're identifying ourselves with God. We're saying, I'm God's. I'm in his kingdom. He is my king. He is my master. The things that God says, I do. It's very simple. That's the basic concept. We think about maybe ancient kingdoms we're familiar with, like the Roman Empire. And the emperor, what the emperor says, you better do it. That's just how it works, unless you want to lose your head. That's the idea of monarchy. And monarchy is not so interested in the voice of the people. Not that interested in what the people's edicts are and what the people have to say. In a monarchy, the king knows best, and he says, this is what's going to happen. Now, of course, we know that's not always true in kingdoms of the world. But when we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he really does know what's best. So we're going down a very dangerous path when we have this problem with authority. And what I want us to see, even in Ephesians, we can just back up a few verses and we see the importance of this beginning in the home, for example. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise. Pretty important idea. We think of our roles maybe as parents to kind of get them through adolescence, to get them to a point where they can function in society in a productive manner. And certainly there is some of that. That's an important part of what we're doing. But we're also trying to instill some important values in them, like this idea of respecting authority. And one reason why I'm bringing this up, even though I believe it's actually implied right in the concept that we have in Ephesians 6 or many other places, it's just part of the idea. When you're in a kingdom, you respect the king. And one of the reasons I bring this up is our society struggles greatly with this idea of authority. And as is typical with many things, we are not immune to this. We would like to think that we are, We would like to think that brethren don't struggle with the same sorts of things of everybody else around us in the world. But just because of association and because of the way things go, it is very hard not to be affected, not to be influenced by the way of life, by the way of society around us. And we need to understand what's going on here when we talk about putting on the whole armor of God. In Romans 13, you can turn and read that if you want to, verses 12 through 14, if you want to reference that. I'm just going to tell you what it says there. It parallels the idea of putting on the armor of light with putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a sense of authority being stated in that text. When you put on the armor of light, when you are in the kingdom of God, that there's an authority statement there. You're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are marching out in his army, taking his orders. That's just the way it works. Or even the very beginning of this statement, the way he begins this in verse 10, finally, be strong, not in yourself, not by your own power and your own mind, your own acumen, the things that you've done in your life, don't gather strength among yourselves. No, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The focus is on what he has done, and this is kind of the parallel to Isaiah 59. If you go back and look at that sometime later, the idea is that the power of God in working salvation, and now his armor is what protects us if we will put that on, if we will wrap ourselves in the might of God and the power of God, recognizing that he is the authority, that no one else could do what he did. And so we desperately need him, but not only do we desperately need him, we desperately need to respect him for who he is. And realize that he is the authority. We live in a culture where many defy authority with regularity, with very little regard for much authority. And yes, sometimes those in authority bring it on themselves because of the way they act. I understand that. But we live in a time where it is really almost popular now to defy, to be defiant, to be rebellious. We live in a culture where parents, and some of you teachers may be very familiar with this, where parents buy the stories of their children over the accounts of adults. They defend their children when others are telling them this is what's happening. And so now we're giving all of this credence to little kids and the stories they make up, rather than what adults have told us what happened. And when we do so, maybe we don't understand this, but we're undermining their sense of authority every time that happens. I have witnessed in this building, and I'm sorry I have to get personal here, but I'm going to do a little bit of that at this moment. I have witnessed in this building not just the defiance of an adult, but the defiance of some children of elders who have told them to stop running or stop behaving in certain other ways. And when that elder turns their back, they just continue on in their behavior. That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen, in our society. It's not just something special here. I'm just saying it does happen. And maybe it's my children. If it is, you bring them to me. I don't know when this changed. I'm just not sure. I know when I was a kid, if an elder or really any adult came and corrected me about something I was doing, I was extremely afraid. I thought, I hope they don't go tell my mom. I hope they don't go tell my dad. Let's just keep this between us. We're good. But I'll tell you, part of the problem is kids just don't, they're not afraid anymore. They're not afraid. An elder, an adult, whoever, they come and tell them to stop doing something, whatever it is. Maybe their parents even let them do it. And yet their reaction is not very good sometimes to these adults. That is an authority issue. And young people, let me tell you this. It doesn't matter what your parents' rules are. If an adult tells you something, you better show respect. You go deal with your parent later and you tell them, you say, this is what they said, and you can discuss that with them and they can say, you know what, we're okay with that. But in the moment, young people, you have a place now where you show respect to those who are elder. You show respect to people who are older. And you are not in a place where you should ever be casting a glance at anyone that says, you're not my mom or you're not my dad. And maybe we don't see it so much in the moment. But what I want us to see here is this concept of disrespecting authority is not something that's just limited to adolescence. It's something that grows within us and become a much deeper problem, parents, as we're raising our children. Have you ever seen
I think many of us have. Rhetorical question. Have you ever seen, you know, the parent who thinks their child is so cute when they're little, how they're defiant and they say no and they do all these things and everybody kind of laughs? And it can be funny. Kids are brilliant. They're so good at manipulating situations. They're survivalists. They're learning how to get the things they want. And we have to teach them how to operate in society in ways where they can get some things they need without manipulating situations. But that's just the way they are. They're hungry when they're newborns, and so they cry. They're getting the things they need. But have you seen that situation where the kid is real cute and says no, and it's kind of defiant, and the parent kind of laughs, and then they're six, and they're still doing it? It's not so funny anymore. And let me just say this, defiance is never acceptable. I don't care how old the child is. There's just way too much of it in our society. And even those of us who are trying to instill this in our children, that defiance is never, it's hard enough for us. That we better not be giving ground on this area. We better not be allowing them to disrespect elders, disrespect those who are older in the congregation, disrespect other people when they say you shouldn't be doing that or stop doing that. There's too much at stake to allow them to be disrespectful and defiant and develop this idea of a lack of respect for authority. It's ultimately going to come back to the ultimate authority. That's really what we're doing in these relationships, right? That we understand that in the marriage relationship, there's something tied up in that that relates to God's relationship with its people. And there's something tied up in the relationship, as the Hebrew writer tells us, in this parent-child relationship. Fathers, he speaks of specifically there in Hebrews chapter 12, that this father, it's a picture of what the Heavenly Father is like. And of course, not in every single regard is that going to match up. But as a father, I need to take very seriously my job, my role, as it's described here in Ephesians chapter 6, that I bring up my children and nurture in the admonition of the Lord. I discipline them, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. That's a really important thing, because the way they see me and the way they see their mother is going to have a big influence on their idea of God and the authority of God. And I get it. It's hard. I've got four. Two of them that are pretty little. One of them that's really hard. And it's not always easy to enforce things the way they need to be enforced. It's a whole lot easier. I'll tell you, you probably are familiar with this, those of you who are dealing with young children right now. You know, you put them to bed, and you say, stay in the bed. It's really easy to go downstairs and kind of do the things you need to do. We have two floors. Maybe you just go out of the room in your living room, and you just kind of wait for them. They think they're going to get out of bed. And they get up, and it's not convenient to go right back there. But you know what works? It's really inconvenient. But I have found at least that this works. I just go sit outside the door. And they get up out of that bed, and they get it. And they get right back in the bed. That's really, really inconvenient. I have to sit there and do that. But I did that last night. Sat out there on the couch, and he never actually came out, which I was a little surprised by. But we have to do these things, and it has to do it with regularity, with consistency. And it's just so inconvenient, and it's so hard. And so I get it. That's why I'm talking about it. That's why I'm talking about it to me. I need to hear these things too. But we've got to instill this idea of respect and authority. When I say it's time to go to bed, he needs to know I mean it. And my other kids too. You probably don't know the one I'm talking about. I don't know. They need to know we're serious. When we say you're going to be punished for this, they need to be punished for it. We've got to be consistent. We mimic lying in our life. They're going to mimic lying in their life. Jeff just preached about that not too long ago. When we say this is going to happen and we just keep saying it and we never do it, we're teaching them something in the process. They can manipulate us through and through. That's what they learn. And in the whole process of all of that, they're learning they can undermine authority without consequence. The problem is the buck stops at God. You can't manipulate God. God is not fooled. God will not be deceived. And so if we raise a child who learns to manipulate and to deceive and to play with the minds of everyone around them to get the things they want, they're going to be sorely disappointed in how this ultimately works in their relationship with God. This then translates into the next thing I want us to talk about, and that is the idea of training our children. They kind of go hand in hand. But if we're going to raise kingdom warriors. We're going to raise people who are soldiers for the cross. There's going to be a lot of training that goes into that. And we've got to develop, we've got to get this sense of authority first so that they will listen, so that they will allow themselves to be guided by us, so they will buy into what we're doing, and that's going to take some work, it's going to take some effort. But if we're going to raise kingdom warriors, godly children who are going to rise up and be wholeheartedly into this, not just moderately religious, it's going to take some training. Notice in the text that the soldier is girded with truth, and righteousness covers his heart. His mind is covered with salvation. He's defended by faith. And he's able to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want us to talk about this idea of teaching, of disciplining and training. And the reason I put training up there is because discipline is training. Sometimes it does involve punishment. But I want us to think beyond just the punitive side of this and think as well about the instructive aspect of this. And so there's three ways that we train our children that I'm going to talk about at least. Three things, if you want to write these down. The first of those is instructing them in the fundamentals, instructing them in the basics. Just the basics of what truth is, the basis of what righteousness is, what faith is, what the gospel is. And by the way, those of us who have some older kids, can our kids tell you what the gospel is? Maybe that's a good question. Can you tell me what the gospel is? Can you repeat this back to me? And we talk about it a lot. You hear that word a lot. What is the gospel? What is the good news? So maybe that's a good measure for some of us to use that have some older children as we're going through this process of trying to teach them the basics. And we know that a soldier needs basic training, right? They don't just throw them out there on the front lines and say, good luck, see how it works for you. You might spend some significant time just getting the fundamentals. Sometimes that can be pretty rigorous, because they're not used to some of it. Sometimes it's just a matter of learning some important details. Learning the way their day ought to function, the types of things they need to do every single day. And it's not something that takes a rocket scientist to figure out, but it's just basic, and it's a necessity, and it's what they need. And so we have to teach our kids the fundamentals, the basics. And probably we don't struggle too much with that. You know, we actually have some things set up that are really nice, like we come here every week. And they have Bible classes, and hopefully we can reinforce those. We have some avenues in which some of those basics are taken care of, and we can build on those in our family. But the other part of that is we got to go beyond the basics. So we've got the basics, we've got the fundamental things. And maybe think about this, I almost hate to use this to promote it, but just think about this maybe as like the proof text version of things, right? We can show them some verses that teach them some things. That's like the basics, that's the fundamentals. That is not the advanced stuff. It's really important. I need to know some of those kind of things, and we need to be working with them as parents to make sure they've got it. But at some point in that process, we've got to teach beyond the basics. So we've got the basics, but then we also got to teach beyond the basics. We've got to develop the skill with that sword. Develop the skill with the Word of God. And so this is something that goes beyond just kind of the stock answers. I never really promote giving stock answers, but I know sometimes because of convenience again, right? It's not convenient always to sit down with your four-year-old and go in depth on something, and so maybe you just kind of give a standard answer. But at some point, even if we do that, we got to go beyond that. And I don't have time to go into the depths of why this is so important. I will say this. It was referenced earlier that there have been some young people recently who have lost their faith. That's the why we have to go beyond basics. The basics don't cut it. They get to a point at some point where they're asking more questions and they want more details, and we need to begin developing that now. As parents, we've got to be open to that sort of thing, be willing to sit down and discuss with them. And I want us to think about a passage that Jeff referenced this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and this deals with the spiritual warfare that we're in. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now think with me for just a second about that statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know those little cards that maybe you got when you were younger, and it has all the kind of the biblical references on that, you know, baptism and repentance and instrumental music and all of that? That's not going to do this. that little proof text card is not going to take every thought captive. Those are some basics, and quite frankly, some of those are just not even good. What this takes is actually sitting down and understanding Scripture. You think about it this way. Some of us, I know some of our children here take Taekwondo. And so they do forms, and they work with weapons and things like that. But, you know, you don't really know the skill you have until, at the very least, you strap on some pads and you spar with people. That's when you really figure out how much you actually know. You figure out your skills aren't that great when you're getting kicked in the face. All right, that form you learn, it's not going to teach you how to fight somebody. You got to get out there and you got to get used to the situation and the circumstance. And figure out how to adjust and how to adapt in the moment. And I want us to see that's what I'm getting at here with this idea of the basics and then going beyond the basics. Because here's what's going to happen in life. They're going to encounter that person in high school or that person in college or that person at the workplace who's going to have questions that are on that little proof text sheet. And they're going to need some answers. And some of these statements, some of these things that people will say are crafted very, very well. Some of these YouTube videos that you can find, they are extremely well done. And if what our kids are getting are stock answers, they're not going to have what they need to defend themselves. Now, we don't need to get all worried and scared about this. That's not my intention. My intention is just to say this. We just have to be open. Open to questions. Open to discussion. My kid wants to talk about the Holy Spirit. I need to sit down and talk about the Holy Spirit. Not just give some answer that's on a piece of paper that I've looked at randomly throughout the years. We need to look at some passages. We need to think through some texts. I need to say, you know what? I don't know. Let's go look at that together. Ask me any question you want to ask me. And we'll investigate this together. And it might take some more time than just looking at that little proof text sheet. But the value of that is going to go well beyond anything that you'll ever do with that sheet of paper in your hand. Because it does the third thing as well. So we teach the basics. That's number one. We teach beyond the basics. That's number two. And we teach by modeling. That may be the most important of the three. They see so much of what we do. It's amazing to me. As we ride in our car, we have a van, and Katie and I sit up front. I'm usually driving. Josie's right behind me in the car seat, and Chelsea's normally right next to her. Because she's like second mom. She can take care of all her needs. And then the boys are in the back. And it always impresses me as we're talking how much Chelsea knows about all the things that have been discussed or talked about. She's chiming in from back there. She hears it all. She hears all the kind of things that we talk about with you when we're sitting in here having discussions. She knows what people are saying. And she'll bring things up. Kids listen to hear. They know the things we say. They know the things that we're interested in, the things that we do. They know how we handle various situations. When we're discussing something with somebody about the Bible, they're aware that they're present. They know how we're answering those questions. They know how we're addressing the needs of that person. And all along the way, what they're learning is, this is how you do it. Now, hopefully at some point, we sit down and have that conversation and say, you know what, I'm not perfect. And I make mistakes. And I need your forgiveness, and I need your grace. But the reality is we're still teaching them by the things that we do. They are learning so much by what is being modeled in my life. And so I can teach them the basics, and I can teach them beyond the basics. That beyond the basics thing, by the way, though, is actually part of that modeling. What that says is, I want to answer your questions. This is important to me. I'm not interested in going halfway. I'm not interested in that moderate religion. I want to be all in. I want to be that soldier that's clothed with the armor of God, and I want to fight in his army. I want to be this weapon of righteousness. That's the term in Romans 6. Your translation says instrument, but it's really the idea of a weapon. That's what I want to be for the Lord. And you have a question for me, I want to answer this. Now, maybe I can't answer it right this second. Maybe I'm on a conference call, or maybe I've got something going on, but you know what? I want to make time for this question you have. We're going to go beyond the basics, beyond the elementary principles. We need to get beyond that, and I want to get beyond that with you. Children are interesting. They know when they're being blown off. They know when they're just being given the standard answers. It is such a dangerous thing. And so if there's one thing, I've dealt with this with teenagers who have talked to me before, they are aware of when they're not getting what they really need from the preacher or their parent or whoever it might be. So if there's one thing we can get from what I'm talking about tonight, it is be open and discuss. Let them ask questions. Answer the questions. Don't just give them the standard answer. We got to be willing to train. And like most of the things on this, this is part of our calling as parents, but it's not always convenient. It's not always easy just to make this happen. But we have to be intentional about what we're going to do. If we really want them to be warriors for the Lord, if we really want to raise productive citizens in God's kingdom, we got to teach the basics, we got to go beyond the basics, and we have to model it in our life. And then the third of these is maybe the most difficult. As if we're going to raise soldiers in God's army, committed, loyal soldiers, people who are going to fight for the Lord, they've got to have sobriety. They've got to have alertness. They have to be aware of their surroundings. Well, let me give you an example of that we've already talked about tonight. And that is just the realization, and maybe probably many of you already know this, that our society has a problem with authority. We talked about that earlier. That's an awareness. And so once we're aware of something like that, we need to be real careful how we engage with those sorts of things. We know it's a problem. And so when we know something's a problem, we know something is a temptation in our life, or we know a certain person leads me down a wrong road, or whatever the example might be, this is just this kind of awareness, this cognizance of what's happening in my life and what that leads to. I have to have the wisdom or develop the wisdom to make good choices along the way. And so a part of Ephesians chapter 6, at the end of this, he says, keep alert with all perseverance. It says something very similar in Romans 13 and 1 Thessalonians 5. It's just the idea of sobriety, being aware. And I'm not even necessarily talking about the idea of drinking or drunkenness here, although that certainly fits within this. When we go down that path, we are not aware. We are not alert. We're not sober. We're not conscious of what's actually happening around us because it dulls all those senses. And so let me just say now, that is extremely dangerous. But what I really want us to talk about is just kind of spiritual awareness. And I know that you've heard Jeff and I both, and probably some others, talk about this perspective that sometimes we have, maybe in discussions or when we're sitting down, especially with someone maybe who's struggling. And the concern is so much, well, you can't say that's a sin. Let me just say, most of the time when we're saying that, we're trying to justify something. And we're going down a very dangerous road. This morning in our class, in the young adult class, we talked about just the idea that just because you can't say something is sinful or unscriptural, whatever direction you want to go with it, doesn't mean it's wise. And what we really need to have in our life is wisdom. Where we look at circumstances, we see situations, and we act with wisdom. And we really are trying to accomplish what Paul says a few verses earlier in chapter 5 and verse 10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Discernment is hard. But it becomes a whole lot easier. And we've learned to respect authority. And we've been disciplined. We've been trained. We have skill with the Word of God. We are aware of what truth is. Discernment, judgment becomes much, much easier, as hard as it may be. But when we've got some knowledge to help us along the way. We have the peace of Christ that can rule our hearts, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 13. We understand what the gospel does for us, and we've been rooted in that. We've been founded in that. We have those fundamentals. And so we have this tempting situation, or we have this hard circumstance, or maybe we feel like we ought to do something we're not really sure about. But when we have those two previous things, when we have the respect of God's authority, and we have the discipline and the training, it's going to help us be discerning. Discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. And so I might be able to say, well, you can't tell me that's sinful. But what's much more important is that pleasing the Lord? Is that pleasing the one who enlisted me, Paul would say in 2 Timothy 2. I'm part of his army. I'm part of his kingdom. Is this action or this activity or is this thought, whatever it may be, is this what really going to please the king? Or is it primarily just to please myself and what I want? In all of these passages I've referenced, whether it's Romans 13, 1 Thessalonians 5, Ephesians 6, all of them have this thought about awareness, about sobriety. You know the time that the hour has come to wake from sleep, he says in Romans 13. To be aware, to be conscious of what's happening, to live in the day and not be drawn away to the darkness. Look carefully then how you walk, it says in verse 15, just after he says, discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Don't be foolish, but be wise. Do what the will of the Lord is. Don't just try to go after the things you want and say, well, you can't tell me that's wrong. It's strange to me the way sometimes we think, and I'm guilty of this too, we're going to push things to the limit. And in the moment, we don't consider how dangerous that is. You think about that soldier maybe who's out there, he's going to just push things. Someone says, hey man, you're getting close to enemy lines. Well, that's not over the enemy lines. How foolish. We would never think that that's intelligent. Well, here's the line. You know, Emily, I'm just going to get right there on the edge. The wise man in Proverbs 12 would call that stupid. There is stupidity and there is foolishness that needs to be pointed out. And sometimes the things that we do and the things that we think. And typically it is in this realm of awareness, of sobriety, of truly using wisdom, being aware of the dangers in my life, which may be completely different than the dangers in your life, the temptations that I face, which may be completely different than the temptations that you face, being aware of those, knowing those things, and realizing I need to steer clear of that. There may be a person that I just can't have in my life. As much as I may want to help them or think I'm going to help them, it may not be a time where I really need to be doing that because of the difficulties I have. And sometimes emotions cause us to think differently. But if we really take the time, we think through some of these situations, we will have better discernment. We'll be more aware that this person or this event or this situation is going to put my soul in peril, and I don't need that. And so it's not, is it sinful? Is it sinful to hang out with this person? Is it sinful to go to this event? Is it wise for me? In my walk with the Lord, in my endeavor to try to please him, is it really what's going to be best? Is it really the best use of my time, as he talks about in Ephesians chapter 5? Is it going to really prod me on to doing the will of the Lord? Sometimes we think things are so simple, binary, good and bad. There's no signs out there that are going to say, this is foolish. Most of the time in life, that's not out there for us. We have to make judgments. We have to think carefully through complex and dynamic situations, just like soldiers. Right? The answers aren't all given to them before they go out on the battlefield. They have to think dynamically through the situation. And think about what's best in the moment. And so we have to be prepared. Parents, our children need to be prepared for those moments, for those complex moments when they have to make a decision, sometimes in a split second, about what's best for their soul. In those moments where they're not going to have that proof text card with them to look at. And they're going to have to draw on the knowledge that they have gained throughout the years and throughout the time in our home. So we've got to teach the basics, go beyond the basics, and we need to model. So they will learn wisdom and discernment and judgment. A moderated religion is as good for us as no religion at all, Screwtape says. He doesn't mind if you come and worship and do some things here and there that are religious, at least in this satirical world that C.S. Lewis is painting. That's no problem at all. The devil's okay with that. He just wants to keep you from being full-fledged loyal to the Lord, to being the soldier that God has called you to be. That's what he really is after. And so Paul says, put on the whole armor of God and be strong in the Lord. And so what our children need to see, parents, is that that's what we're doing. We're willing to put on the whole armor of God. We're willing to say no sometimes to things that really shouldn't happen. We're willing to say no sometimes to things because they're not as good as something else, like being with brethren, studying the Word of God, saying this is what's most important in life. They need to see us say yes to things that are valuable and good and tell them that these things are valuable and good, so that as they grow and they mature, they're no longer tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine, but they grow together with us as a body into the measure of Christ, who is the head. We have a high calling, parents, a hard job. But we love our children, and we want to do that for them. And maybe it is tonight that you realize you haven't been doing that in your life, and you want your child to see that you're fully committed. Maybe you need to come forward and make that known. Maybe it's just in the privacy of your home. You get your family together and say, I haven't been what I need to be. Could be either one of those things. Maybe you realize that, and now is the time to make it happen. To awake from sleep and let Christ shine on you. In the words of Paul, can we help you tonight? Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together?